Our hour-long look yesterday at how immigration and American labor history intersect was our way of noting America's Labor Day.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me.
And now a look at a man who lived and died at that intersection. We remember a legendary folk hero for the American worker, Joe Hill. He arrived in this country in 1902 as a poor, unknown Swedish immigrant. A decade later, he had become an icon and leader of the industrial workers of the world, the Wobblies. The union sang songs written by Hill as a form of protest against low wages and poor working conditions. But fate took a turn for Hill, who was executed by firing squad for murder, a crime that some historians argue Hill was wrongly convicted of. Matthew Billy is the host of the podcast Between the Liner Notes, and he started a petition to exonerate Joe Hill over 100 years after his death.
You know, when he was executed, he became a mythological figure almost. You know, I mean, people sing songs about him, people write about him, and the saga still continues.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night,
alive as you and me.
Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead.
And never died, says he. And never died, says he.
But does that mean we know who he actually was, aside from a martyr?
Yeah, we know quite a bit about him. We know a lot about his life in Sweden before he came over. You know, both his parents had died. Actually, they got sick because of the conditions that they were working in factories and the railroad over in Sweden. You know, so after his mother passed away, which was his last living parent, he decided to use the money from the sale of the house to buy passage over to New York City. And that was in 1902. And then for the next 5 years or so, we don't know that much about him. We know that he was in the San Francisco earthquake in 1905. We know that because he wrote a letter back to his home paper in Sweden about his experience in the earthquake. And then he pops up in 1907, 1908 in Portland, Oregon. And that's when he first registers for the industrial workers of the world and becomes a card-carrying member.
There is power in the band of working men when they stand hand in hand. That's a power that must rule in every land, one industrial union grand.
Where does the Wobblies come from?
Nobody actually knows that. There's a couple of speculations, which I really shouldn't say on radio because they're pretty bad, but the Wobblies was just a nickname for the IWW,
right,
and
so
Joe Hill was a Wobbly or IWW from 1907 until his execution.
As a worker, was he, and as an activist, was he a skilled songwriter? Was he a leader?
In terms of leadership, he's not exactly hopping on the soapbox and giving speeches at street corners. He took more of a lower level role, but I think you would consider him a leader. Really, he led through his songwriting. He started writing songs for the IWW at a very pivotal point in their history. They were trying to strike against these employment agencies that were ripping off the workers. And employment agencies hired the Salvation Army Band to drown out the soapboxers. You know, it's hard for – no matter how strong your voice is, you can't beat a 20-piece horn orchestra. You're just not going to do it. So Joe Hill and a couple of other guys in Spokane decided to write new lyrics over the Salvation Army's hymn book melodies. And so when the Salvation Army Band struck up, they would just start singing. And it worked.
But why are his songs remembered and passed down from worker to worker and generation to generation long before recorded music?
Couple of reasons. First of all, everyone already knew the melodies. So learning new lyrics on top of the melodies was easy. A lot of people at the time weren't very well educated, often didn't speak English very well. So, you know, it's much easier to get the information you need from a song rather than from a news article or some other periodical publication. The reason these things have been preserved and have been passed down is because the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, were so good at publishing and getting the songs out into the world. They had a publication called the Little Red Songbook, which every couple of months they would come out with a new edition with new songs addressing whatever the topics were that they were facing. And they would sell these things for a nickel or a dime, and they would get in the hands of merchant marines and travel all around the world. I mean, dock workers in Australia knew the songs that Joe Hill was writing on the west coast of America.
Joe Hill was executed for a crime he didn't commit. Describe the circumstances there.
It hasn't been 100% proven that he did commit this crime, but I think the evidence is pretty good that he didn't. What happened was this. John Morrison was a grocery store owner. On January 10th, 1914, him and his two children were closing up for the night, and two guys come in with red bandanas over their faces. They both have guns. They point the guns at John Morrison and say, "We've got you now," and then they fire. John Morrison's son reaches behind the counter and grabs the gun under there and allegedly shoots one of the culprits. And then one of the two men shoots his son. The second son hid in the back room, heard everything, but didn't see anything, even though he testified a little differently. What happens then is, this murder, front page news in all four newspapers in Salt Lake City, Utah. Joe Hill has the unfortunate experience of also receiving a gunshot wound on that exact same night, and he goes to a doctor. The doctor dresses the wound, doesn't think anything about it, until the governor of Utah says there is a $500 reward for anyone who has any information leading to the person or people who shot John Morrison. The doctor's like, "Oh, $500, that's a lot of money in 1914. So he turns Joe Hill in. He says, "Hey, I have this guy you might be interested in. He had a gunshot wound on the same night, and he's a member of the Industrial Workers of the World."
That was all it took.
Yes.
You want a pardon for Joe
Exonerate,
Hill.
Exonerate, yes.
Exonerate. And others have tried to do this as well.
Yes, there have been a couple of attempts. The AFL-CIO tried in 1979 on Joe Hill's 100th birthday. The governor said no. Another gentleman, Clayton Sims, who was a criminal lawyer in Utah, tried to do it last year on the 100th anniversary of his execution. The governor again said no. But this time, we're going to succeed. I would also like to point out that in Utah, one of the hot issues right now is the death penalty. There's a lot of Republicans in that state pushing to get rid of the death penalty. And they also still have the firing squad as a method of execution. If they run out of the lethal injection, I think issues like this are in the public zeitgeist right now. So I think a lot of people are going to be very excited about it.
Have you ever dreamed you saw Joe Hill?
I have not. I have not dreamed I saw Joe Hill.
Could happen.
You never know.
Matthew Billy is the host of the podcast Between the Liner Notes. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, "But Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died," says he.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.